Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Every Wednesday, Greg Cosell joins us, presented by the Huffaker Group of Keller Williams Realty, THGTN.com, the website for more information if you're making the move in Middle Tennessee. Greg, the longest tenured employee at NFL Films. You can catch him each week on NFL Matchup on ESPN and ESPN2. Greg, how are you today?
Jonathan, how's it going?
Excellent. We are overlooking a golf course this afternoon. Thank you for being flexible on the time today as well. We look forward to this.
I don't know. Coach Stoops over me? I don't know, John.
I know.
I'm going to have to talk to my agent about this.
I did clear it with you first, though, to be fair.
You know I'm joking. Come on.
I know. Could you get through the Browns and Titans game with all the penalty flags you saw?
You know, I got to tell you one thing, and then we'll talk about it more, but I haven't been through everything, you know, every game. It's not humanly possible for me to do that, certainly not by Wednesday. But from what I've seen, and it's been a good amount, I thought the coaching staffs on both sides of the ball, offense and defense for the Titans, were as good as I've seen all week. It was unbelievable. You know, and again, I'm not one who says they outcoach someone, because I know how hard coaches work. I know how hard I work, and coaches probably work harder, so I don't normally say things like that. But I just thought that let's just put it on the Titans. I thought their staffs did an unbelievable job to really dictate the approach of that game.
All right, let's start on defense for the Titans. The Browns have plenty of weapons. They have a quarterback who can be accurate. He was fine through three quarters on Sunday. So what did you think of the game plan from Dean Pease and Mike Vrabel defensively, a plan that featured nickel personnel, some dime packages, and a group that eventually produced five sacks, three interceptions, a safety, and a pick six?
Well, to me, it had everything to do with disguised coverage looks. I mean, we have to remember, because of what happened this offseason, that people were speaking about Baker Mayfield, and I love Baker Mayfield as if he was a 10-year veteran, though, and that he'd seen it all. And they did such a good job with disguised coverage looks and a lot of moving secondary pieces. It was a very tough puzzle to decipher for an inexperienced quarterback like Mayfield. And that happened early in the game. They started early. Even he had a couple of completions where he got frenetic, and you could see that he's not really getting a clear picture of what he's looking at, and he's getting a little chaotic, a little frenetic, and that was the way the majority of the game went. Now, obviously, he's an excellent thrower, so he still made some throws here and there, but I thought with what Coach Pease and the defensive staff did was just absolutely outstanding. And, you know, I think they've got really good defensive personnel as well. You know, I think Logan Ryan is a really overlooked player in the overall national scheme of things. I think he's just one of those really solid pros. Obviously, he plays outside in base, slot in their sub. They use him as a blitzer. He's an excellent blitzer. He's a physical defender. You know, he's just one of those really good players. And there's one play I'd love to talk about, but I'll let you jump in. I want to talk about the safety, because I'm not sure people are aware of why that happened.
Well, let's go.
Well, that safety happened because of Hooker. Amani Hooker was responsible for the safety because the Titans were in cover four. And Hooker, on his side of the field, it was a 2x2 set, and in cover four, the safety is responsible for the second receiver inside if he runs vertically. There was a tight end to that side. The tight end stayed into block. So what Hooker did is he immediately understood his coverage responsibility, and he turned to number one and he undercut Higgins, and that took away Mayfield's throw. Because yes, Wake got the sack and the safety, but if Mayfield could have made that throw on time, with timing, the safety would never have occurred. Hooker was responsible for that safety. It was an unbelievable play by a rookie, incredible savvy, incredible understanding of his role in that particular coverage.
Greg Cosell with us. Greg, one more for me, then I'll toss to Paul, who's in Nashville. limited snaps for Cam Wake. 24 snaps, yep. but four quarterback hits, 2.5 sacks. Sharif Finch handled the early downs. Wake took care of getting after Mayfield on third down. Is this a formula that can work week in, week out, or will they have to mix and match what they do, how they use Cam Wake based on the offensive lines they're going to face? Because we all know Cleveland was working with not a very good offensive line, and that's putting it mildly.
No, and obviously he worked against Hubbard to start, and then Robinson got hurt, and Hubbard moved to the left side, and McCray came in and played right tackle, so they were playing with a backup at right tackle. I think this is the formula they'd like to have, Jonathan. Whether it can work every week, that depends on the opponent. You know, I think one of the overlooked, untold stories of the Browns, as everybody has gotten excited about them, is that their O-line is a little bit of an issue, and I think that the Titans were able to expose that to some degree in this game. You know, they've got concerns probably at four of the five offensive line positions, and that's, you know, something for them they'll have to work out. But I think as far as the number of snaps for Cameron Wake, I think this is what they'd like to do in an ideal world.
Let's flip to offense. Jack Conklin had a super block on Derrick Henry's touchdown, where the Titans had established in the game plan that he needed to win that play for Henry to have success.
You're talking about the 75-yard touchdown?
No, the 1-yard touchdown.
Oh, okay.
But he did a really good job keeping Vernon quiet throughout.
Yep.
What did you think of his performance, and then how did the Titans do helping out Kelly and Jameel Douglas on the offensive line?
Oh, I thought that their what they did conceptually was phenomenal. It was multiple play action concepts, including boot and screen. It was the whole approach was multiple tight end sets, emphasis on play action, both conventional and out of the shotgun, quick game throws, boot action to get Marcus out of the pocket, focus on pass protection when throwing down the field. You know, design and scheme to define one read throws for Mariota. The coaching staff clearly understood his strengths and his limitations, and they game planned to that about as perfectly as you could. You know, I mentioned the 75-yard touchdown to Henry. They actually called that same play earlier in the game. They ran it late in the first quarter. It was the exact same concept out of a different formation. It didn't work the first time they called it, but they knew what they had, and they came back to it. You know, so I thought it was, you know, it was just unbelievable, their approach. And look, you don't get three, you know, 45-plus yard completions every week. That doesn't happen. But they were the result of design. Obviously, the second one to Brown, that was almost a Patriots play. It was just power play action, a quick slant. He had room to run. But, you know, they just did a really good job conceptually to play to the strengths of the quarterback, minimize his limitations. And if you can get big plays out of that stuff, then you have a really good day.
Brown, it seemed like what we discussed was that those were plays that could have been really run to virtually any receiver, and any receiver might have been open on them. But then what he did with the ball after the fact maybe was special to him.
Yeah, I mean, he's a big physical guy. You know, obviously the first one, that was a designed shot play. That was on the first possession, obviously. It was exactly how they must orchestrate explosive plays. They went with three tight ends. They went with stretch run outside zone action, seven-man pass protection. That's what you do on shot plays. You know, Brown ran the deep crosser, and it was a great anticipation throw by Mariota because he got late pressure. So he threw it up. You know, it's a little bit of a spot throw, but it's still a long throw, so it was a very good throw. And, you know, that was just one of those play calls you call on your first possession, and you're obviously hoping it will work, that you get defensively what you're hoping for, and they did. And then the play was successful.
Was there anything unique to either of the Delanie Walker touchdown plays?
The first one was, well, they were both really incredibly well designed. I mean, in two other, you know, examples again. I mean, that 11-yard TD again looked like the Patriots. It was power play action. They had three tight ends on the field. Walker did a really good job. He initially showed run blocking, then released cleanly into his route, and no one really responded to him. It's a one read throw. It was pitch and catch. That's where the ball's going. The 7-yard touchdown was another well-designed play working off run action. He again showed that he would run block, then he released cleanly into the flat. Again, pitch and catch. You know, the design of the plays set up the easy throws, and that's, again, that's what you're trying to do. They're one-read throws from Marcus Mariota.
Greg, Arthur Smith understands his personnel. That's what I came away watching this game with offensively.
I would agree.
I thought he was smart in how he called that game, logic behind what he was doing. He called the screen to Deion Lewis on 3rd and 9 early on the first drive that would have gone for a first down and more, but Lewis dropped that pass. A 3rd and 3, he dialed up Humphreys in the red zone. You just mentioned Delaney. Jonnu Smith on the end around, the screen to Henry after the Browns scored a touchdown. Just overall, when we say he understands his personnel, I thought he utilized what he had at his dispense throughout that game very well and at timely moments of that game.
Yeah, and you know, I think obviously because of their defense, and that's the other important factor here, we can discuss more of that if you like, but because of the defense, most games will not get out of hand, and you can stay within your game plan. And I think, look, that's what coaching is. You know, coaching is understanding the strengths and limitations of your players, and it begins with the quarterback. And I think they know what they have in Marcus. They know what he's good at. They know what he's not good at. And they know what their O-line is. Look, that 47-yarder to Brown on the first possession was an excellent tactic to compensate for and camouflage the offensive tackle mismatch, because you go with 7-man pass pro. You're not asking your tackles to block one-on-one. You know, they did a lot of the kinds of throws they did in the game compensated and camouflaged for that those potential mismatches. And there were plays where those mismatches, you know, did show up.
Greg Cosell with us here on the Midday 180. He joins us each and every Wednesday. Greg, Daquan Jones was dropping into coverage at times in this game. How did that disrupt Mayfield's rhythm and timing?
Well, that was part of what they did. There were a lot of 3-man rushes. And there are a lot of 3-man rushes that were behind disguised coverage looks. You know, that takes away a lot of those short in-breaking throws. And you know, I think if you're not used to that, a player that you don't expect to be where he is there. And all you're doing in the NFL is if you force the quarterback just to have half a beat of uncertainty after the snap of the ball, then you pose problems. You know, they also played a coverage which is called cover two invert, in which the two corners end up being the half field safeties, and safeties end up being underneath defenders. And they got to that in a number of different ways in the first half in particular. So they showed a lot of things, you know, whether it's a 3-man rush with Jones dropping, whether it's cover two invert, whether it's just different disguises that really posed problems overall. And you're trying to make a young quarterback think the game as he's playing it. And if you can get that to happen, then you have the advantage.
This week they'll take on the Indianapolis Colts.
Yep.
In week two, and if not for some special teams errors, which we're not accustomed to seeing with Indy, they probably win that game against the Chargers. They probably are entering 1-0 like the Titans in week two. Jacoby Brissett in the short passing game. He said post-game that he saw some things deeper within the offense, but Reich has asked him to stay patient within the offense and just take what's there. Can you explain what you saw as you watched that tape?
Well, it's funny you say that, because I think as the season progresses, and they may not be ready to do this week too against a really good defense on the road, but I think as that their season progresses, you're going to see an offense that gets a little bit more expansive. Right now, I think they're very, very patient with the run game. That's what they were this past week, because they were down by, you know, not by a ton, but 17-6, I believe, 20, I can't remember all the scores, but they stayed really patient with the run game. Marlon Mack had 25 carries. Their run game is incredibly multiple. I charted all their different runs, and they were about 7 or 8 different runs, both out of shotgun, totally out of shotgun, and conventional with the quarterback under center. So, you know, this is a game where I think you've got to line up and play the run. They like to line up in multiple tight end sets, so you'll see, I think, more base defense in this game. So it'll be interesting how many snaps that Cameron Wake plays. We'll find out. So, I think that the run game and that O-line is where you start in this game if you're the Titans defense.
They had more rushing yards in that second half, in a half of football, than we've seen in over 20 years in this league. What triggered their success? Over 170 rushing yards. I know one of those was a long touchdown run by Marlon Mack.
Yeah.
But what gets them going offensively in the run game now?
Well, I think you start with their O-line. I mean, particularly the left side of the O-line. It's a better run-blocking O-line than pass-protecting O-line, particularly on the right side where you have Braden Smith from Auburn and Mark Lewinsky at right guard. You know, those guys are not quite as good in pass pro as they are as run blockers. You know, and as I said, they're very multiple with their run game concepts. Mack is clearly their guy. I don't think he can carry 25 times every week, but I think the point to take from this is that they will stay patient with the run game unless the score is totally out of hand. Because, like I said, they were down by more than a score in the third quarter, and they just came out and they ran the ball. The other thing that they did a couple of times, and I think, well, you don't think of them other than T.Y. Hilton as having great receivers, is they lined up a couple times with four wide receivers on the field. And you know, I think the Titans will play dime to that, obviously, but, you know, four wide receivers is not something that happens that often in the NFL.
Go ahead, Paul, sorry.
If you stay on offense, if you were I'm going defense.
Well, same here. I'm about to move to Justin Houston. Let's start there, Greg. Justin Houston got after L.A.'s right tackle for most of Sunday's game. That should be an interesting battle between him and Jack Conklin Sunday.
Well, again, you're dealing with totally different pass games. So now you're getting into, you know, Phillip Rivers. They like to go empty. They like to throw the ball down the field. They don't necessarily max pro because they count on Rivers, who's a master, to be able to get rid of the football. So is Houston, can he get after Jack Conklin in an ideal world? Yes, he can. But now it comes down to the nature of the Titans offense as it was this past week. And my guess is that the Colts are not going to run away score-wise in this game. So the Titans will be able to stay with this type of offense that protects their tackles and that allows Arthur Smith to be very judicious in what he calls and to play to the strengths of his players, as I said, especially Marcus Mariota.
What's their secondary? What did their secondary look like in this first game? And what do they do in terms of base and nickel and dime?
Well, they play a lot of people, PK. I mean, both up front and in the secondary. I mean, it was really interesting. Their sub package has Kenny Moore in the slot. Now, Kenny Moore, to me, is one of the best slot corners in the game. He's somewhat like Logan Ryan. They're very similar. They're two guys that fans can watch because they're very similar in how they can be used, because Kenny Moore can blitz. He's a good run defender. He's physical. Kenny Moore plays outside in their base and slot in their sub. Then they play the rookie from Temple, Rakia Sin, at right corner when they go to their sub. And Pierre Desir is sort of the foundation. He's the left corner. So then they played a rookie, Keith Willis from Michigan State. He got meaningful snaps at safety with Malik Hooker. So Chargers targeted him too. Literally the first snap he was in the game, the Chargers targeted him, and they had Keenan Allen for 27 yards. So they play a lot of rookies. They play the rookie from Stanford, Bobby Okereke, at linebacker. You know, you have to be aware who's in the game, which the coaching staff will be, and these are some guys you may want to target. And sometimes they're targeted on plays that you don't know they're being targeted, but coaches know they're being targeted.
Greg, in all of your film study throughout the draft process, did you see Lamar Jackson ever have the type of performance that he showed on week one against Miami for Baltimore?
And how much was it about the Dolphins?
I think you got to be careful about that kind of stuff. I mean, first of all, as I told you guys numerous times, I thought he threw the ball better his senior year at Louisville than he did last year in the NFL. But I think you got to be careful about you know, how we deal with week one in the NFL. So he threw it well. To me, that's about as far as I'm going to go. I'm not going to sit here and tell you the same thing's happening in Dallas. You know, I think you got to be careful about these kinds of things. So he threw the ball extremely well. That's what the tape showed. They were going to run an offense that features a lot of RPOs, a lot of run game principles, and they're going to be a difficult offense to defend. But he's not going to throw five touchdown passes every week.
Greg, Le'Veon Bell's debut in New York, his first game in 602 days. I've only seen the touchdown grab where he made a nice catch around his knees for a touchdown. Overall, what did you think? Is he still using the same style of runs that we saw in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I know the yardage total wasn't high, but I thought he looked good. I think their issue is they've got some offensive line issues that they've got to work out. I don't think they have bad players on their O-line, but I think they've got some issues that have to be cleaned up. But Bell looked like Le'Veon Bell.
And while he's in the headlines, Antonio Brown with the Patriots offense, an offense that features a quick passing game from Tom Brady, and it's now an offense that can feature more 11 personnel now that Gronk is no longer in that lineup. They'll potentially have Gordon, Dorsett, Edelman, and then Brown. Who knows what happens there? But I think most people think of Antonio Brown as this big play guy, and he is. But over the latter portion of his time in Pittsburgh, they transitioned to more of a quick passing game, if I recall your description, with Roethlisberger because they were trying to protect him more. He should be able to plug and play with Brady in the short passing game.
Well, we'll see what they do with him, because much of what they do with the Patriots has to do with being able to read on the move, and both the quarterback and the receivers. And Brady has to feel really comfortable with that, or he won't throw you the ball. You know, I remember when Chad Johnson went there. Now, granted, he was later in his career, but he struggled with being able to read leverage of defenders the same way Brady did. He actually had that problem in Cincinnati as well, even in his good years. I don't know. You know, in Pittsburgh, Brown ran a lot of what we call isolation routes, one-on-one routes, and Roethlisberger often, you know, threw him the ball because it was one-on-one, and he's Antonio Brown. There were times Roethlisberger threw him the ball when he was doubled, and they'd still make completions. So, again, he's a great, great talent. Belichick is brilliant. They'll have certain things set up specifically for him, but I don't know if he goes in there and, you know, goes 9 for 180 the first day. Maybe he does. I don't know. But I think there's things he's going to have to learn.
Maybe this next question shows my ignorance. Maybe not. We'll see. I get back from Cleveland and I watch the overtime for Arizona and Detroit. And
right.
I saw an end zone shot of the third down pass that ends up giving the ball back to Detroit in overtime. And Kyler Murray, that's the first time I saw him throw from behind the line of scrimmage in the NFL in an actual game. And I don't care how much vision he has. His stature does not allow him to get the ball over the offensive and defensive line. Don't they have to get him out of the pocket more in those critical situations? Because I don't see that being very successful.
Well, we'll find out. I mean, he's not significantly, he's like a quarter of an inch shorter than Russell Wilson, so we'll see what their approach is. Obviously, they're running a totally different offense than the Seahawks are now running, but, you know, they will use his legs. You know, obviously, he had a very good fourth quarter and
yeah.
Overtime. I'm sure that they probably made a lot of the same calls. You know, I went through the fourth quarter in overtime just to see him. I didn't get watch the whole game, so I can't sit here and tell you what the calls were through the first three quarters. But I'm sure there are similar calls. So we'll see as they learn, you know, what they can do, what they can't do. They've lost their right tackle for the season, Marcus Gilbert, who was a really good pickup from Pittsburgh and a really good right tackle. So their O-line will be depleted a little bit. So we'll see how they decide to play it as they go forward. But, no, is he a true drop-back passer in a strict sense, Jonathan? No, and they know that.
Yeah. Final thing for you. You started this visit this week by saying you were thoroughly impressed with both the offensive and defensive plans by the coaching staff for the Titans. Who else impressed you in that category? Who else jumped out to you that would stand out from that perspective in week one?
Oh, boy. You know, I thought what the Vikings did was very interesting. And again, you can't have your quarterback throw 10 passes every week. But I think, you know, the one thing that you sometimes take away from week one is not necessarily stats, like I mentioned Lamar Jackson or Dak Prescott, but approach and identity. And I think ultimately the Vikings played this week the way they want to be. Now, every game will not play out exactly that way, but they want to run the ball. They're going to play with multiple tight ends. They've got a really good defense. Their Cousins will be a piece of that. You know, in an ideal world, he doesn't drop back more than 25, 30 times in any given game. So, you know, I think you saw a team with a defined identity play out with that identity. You know, to me, those are things I look for more than given statistics, because week one, everything is skewed either positively or negatively.
Who will be some of your game features this week on NFL Matchup?
This week, God, now it's funny. I've just been grinding away. I'm trying to. we've got the Saints Rams. That's a huge.
Okay.
Game.
Yeah.
You've got Seattle at Pittsburgh. You've got Minnesota and Green Bay. You've got the Eagles and Atlanta, because I think Atlanta is far better than they showed this week in that game
that
in
bad.
Atlanta on Sunday night. And they're not that bad by any means. You know, and I think we'll do Dallas, Washington, because, you know, Dallas is, you know, we are a TV show and we want people to watch. And Dallas is one of those teams that's being talked about a lot. But, and their offense had some different elements to it with the new coordinator, Kellen Moore.
Greg, it's great to have you back every week, of course, but especially it's great to have you back for the regular season that's now turned the page, and we actually have some legitimate football to discuss each week.
No, it's a great win. I mean, you know, obviously they're home this week, and let's hope they keep it going, but that was a thoroughly enjoyable tape to watch on both sides of the ball. Really fun.
Love to hear it. Thank you, Greg.
Appreciate it.
All right, guys, appreciate it.